An interesting article came out yesterday, written by our very own Ramona Shelbourne, detailing Kawhi Leonard and how, according to multiple sources, Russell Westbrook had called the star and wanted to team up in L.A. But instead, Leonard didn't just take the call. Instead, he filed it away and used it to ultimately poach Paul George into coming to L.A. Our Kendrick Perkins has some very passionate thoughts about this. So, Kendrick, carry on.
Carry on. Tell Stephen A. and Max to keep a cool booty while I address this situation, all right?
No, you finish
Max,
this.
That's
you,
Max. Stop. Max Kellerman. Stop it, Max. Stop.
What, Max?
What are you talking about?
Calm down.
Hold that L. He better knock him down. He's a professional. Bro, put some respect on that man's name.
We lost our mind debating with you.
Yeah, you lost, all right. But they want all this smoke. Carry on.
Well then, Perk, I would really like to have you carry on some more.
Well, here it is, right? Let me start off by saying this. I think Kawhi Leonard is a hell of a basketball player, and what he's accomplished has been golden, right? Winning championships and finals MVPs, two-time defensive player of the year. But here's the problem that I have with Kawhi Leonard. They have this old saying that goes around the country of America, right? The United States, and it's not just in the South. Kawhi Leonard is a guy that throws stones and hides his hand, all right? And when it comes down to it, we have been letting him off the hook for too long. We have been letting him off the hook for too long. And he's a guy that flies under the radar, that has been doing sneaky stuff, been getting catered to, and just because he's quiet, we don't address him. We looking at this situation with him and Russell Westbrook. This is supposed to be your homie. This is a confidential conversation. You don't use this conversation or ignore this brother phone call to go lure Paul George to come to the Clippers. By the way, when you get to the Clippers, the firing of Doc Rivers, everybody wanted to point the finger at Paul George, but Paul George wasn't the only one that had a saying that fired Doc Rivers. Kawhi Leonard was right there with him. But nobody wanted to blame Kawhi Leonard for what he was doing. And then to top it off, you look at this season alone, right? Kawhi Leonard gets hurt. He goes down. Most of the time when you see a guy go down and your team is in the heat of the battle and they're in the playoffs, they're not in the suite wiggling their toes, eating steak and shrimp. They down there on the bench encouraging their teammates. They in the trenches with their guys, giving pep talks, helping the young guys like Terrence Mann be down there in the trenches. So look, we heard about the helicopter rise to the practice facility and to the plane being held up and being late, not being able to take off on time because they was waiting on Kawhi Leonard. Let LeBron James do some stuff like that and watch how people go in the media and kill them. And I'm part of the problem because we should have been addressed this like the numbers on the house. Carry the hell on.
All right, Kendrick. I mean, I can't disagree with anything that you said there. But the one thing that I'm confused about is you did this to me earlier. You were wrong, but you tried to do it. You tried to go back to yesterday and point out a slight contradiction that I actually didn't make. But I feel like yesterday I was saying some of these things, like Kawhi was being a little bit dishonest with the organization. And you responded to me by saying, no. He was in communication. They love Kawhi there. Kawhi is looking out for everybody. They was trying to keep the other team on their toes. That's why he wasn't telling people what was going on. So I feel you. I'm with you. Kawhi does seem like some of the things that he's doing is a little bit sketchy, but I'm just confused at what happened. It was just it took this one story to put you over the top to come to my side?
No. You see, when you get a clean cut, and you come on here looking like Lil Boosie, you think you slick, right? But I ain't falling for it because we was talking about the injury. We was talking about the injury to Kawhi Leonard. We never talked about what happened behind the scenes. We talked about the injury part of it and about them covering that up for us, him tearing his ACL. I never talked about him sitting up in the suite and being catered to and the way that he's been handling things behind the scenes and not being held accountable. We talked about them hiding his injury. That's what the communication part is. You tried to be slick, but you can't out slick a slickster, okay?
Marcus,
Perk, I love it.
Feel free to
I love it. But
But you're right, man. You're right. You're right. I felt like Kawhi has skated by a little bit on a lot of things he's done. And obviously, when you look at it from a perspective of a player taking ownership of his own career, we all applaud that. We all sit here and applaud when a guy is making decisions based on not only his future, but putting himself, setting himself up in a position to be successful. But even on the basketball court, like the Clippers ain't accomplished what they supposed to. Like, I get it. I like, all of the off-the-court stuff, I don't know the details of those stories. I know this is shady with him and this Russell Westbrook and Paul George situation. But even on the court, like, when Kawhi signed with the Los Angeles Clippers, the goal and plan was to win a championship. Y'all know who has won a championship since they made that decision? LeBron James. Going over to the Lakers. That's the issue that I have with Kawhi Leonard. That's the issue because when Kawhi left and went to the Clippers and brought Paul George in, first it was some demands made to get Paul George there in order for him to commit to it. And secondly, they ain't where they supposed to be. So, Perk, for all you guys, all you NBA aficionados, all you guys that cover this league, beyond Kawhi's shade and the things that he's done off the court, he ain't done a damn thing on the court. And I know injuries played a part into this year, and I get it. But Kawhi Leonard and Paul George and that Clippers team, even when they brought Doc in, was not signed for some 2 to 3 year window playing. They were signed to win a championship. So amongst other things that you beefing about with Kawhi, on the court, let it would have been LeBron that went to L.A. and not brought a championship in 2 or 3 years based on the things they did to get him there. And we would be having that conversation as well, along with what we found out about the phone call with Russell Westbrook. I'm with you. It's shady. It ain't right. And ultimately, the decisions that he made ain't led to what the hell the Clippers thought it was going to lead to. And that's an NBA championship. It's been disappointing all the way around.
The argument on the other side, and I agree, this is something that I can't really condone and support, but the argument on the other side is, just because somebody called you first, you owe them some loyalty? Like, we don't know. This was the story that Ramona got, and I believe her story, but we don't know that he didn't have Paul George targeted, and then once somebody else call you, you can't then go call that teammate? Like, to me, I understand all the things in the track record. The reason why I agree with you, Perk, is because it's a track record. I think just this one incident, based on the facts that we have, this one incident is not quite enough for me to be over the top about how he is a bit selfish, but I agree because it shows a track record. I don't think that if a guy call you, that means you then can't play with his teammate ever?
No. No. Time out. First of all, Kawhi Leonard and Russell Westbrook are Brodies, okay? It's a difference. Mm-hmm. When you have a friendship outside of that, outside of your professional basketball career, it's a difference, Dominique. Now, you're starting to make me feel really hesitant about picking up the phone, and calling you.
You
if you want to have that type
you
of
a,
attitude,
you
want
to just you a slickster.
I might need to put you on the block list for what just came out of your mouth. I got my eye on you.
I am not defending it. I'm just trying to give the man a fair shake. Is this not America? I'm saying we've heard one side of this.
It's been long enough, Foxy. It's been long enough. That's a perk point.
There's always two sides to every story.
Hey, Molly Karam here, and thanks so much for listening to the First Take podcast. When you're on a business trip, you know what goes completely off the rails? Your workout routine, especially when you book a hotel that doesn't have a gym. So what ends up happening is you do a few push-ups, sit-ups in your room, run around the block, or you just skip it entirely. Lame. If you just stay at La Quinta by Wyndham, you'll discover there's a fully equipped fitness center at every location. Now you can wake up, power your buys, your tries the right way, or de-stress with a little cardio. The choice is yours. Tonight, La Quinta. Tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
Hey, I'm Molly Karam, and thanks so much for listening to the First Take podcast. Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Justin Fields was selected by the Bears 11th overall in April's draft, but unlike many rookie QBs, he's not expecting to start for the Bears this year. Head coach Matt Nagy said on several occasions that Andy Dalton will be the team starter and Fields will play when he's ready. That hasn't stopped Fields from impressing people at camp. Our very own Lewis Riddick has been hearing good things, tweeting, quote, "Not going to say how crazy good some of the things I've been told about Justin Fields, the professional, have been thus far. Don't want to hear the it's only training camp brigade puff up their chest and scream at the top of their lungs, but it has been that good, just saying." Now, speaking of QBs, we have our resident QB, Dan Orlovsky. Now, Dano, after this year, who will be the best QB from this rookie class?
It would be Trevor Lawrence. He's the best quarterback going into this season, and he'll be the best quarterback coming out of this season. We're expecting him to have a career similar to John Elway or Peyton Manning. I actually look at the Jags and go, you know what? This is a more talented offensive roster than it's probably getting credit nationally. Marvin Jones is a guy, that wide receiver that I played with, that is a very reliable veteran prospect. So, okay, I got a veteran wide receiver that I can count on. Laviska Shenault in his second year out of Colorado, a big, powerful slot receiver that's really good. DJ Chark from LSU is like, come on and become a really good number two receiver in the NFL. So he's got skill position guys to get the ball to. Tight end Luke Farrell is a rookie out of Ohio State who's going to be solid in Travis Etienne. So I look at the team, I go, there's weapons. There's guys to get the ball to. Now, the offensive line is okay. And so the big question for me, if Trevor Lawrence can go be, at least as a rookie, as good as I expect him to be, is number one, how good the offensive line plays. That'll be a big part of this conversation. And then number two, Darryl Bevell, their offensive coordinator, how much he implements a super friendly quarterback system into it. I actually think that Trevor Lawrence is going to be better in totality than a lot of people think, specifically this year. I think Clemson's offense held him back scheme-wise and didn't allow for some of the freelance recess style of football that we see all the great quarterbacks have in the NFL. I think there's a chance for a lot of these guys to be good, but I'm taking Trevor Lawrence to be the best.
I think the answer is Trey Lance, and for all the same reasons that you just said, except there are no question marks around Trey Lance. Like, you're hoping that Darryl Bevell installs an offense that works for Trevor Lawrence. You're also hoping that the offensive line gets better. And also, the defense is an important part of a quarterback playing well. Like, we understand, and you can say as well as anyone, Dan, that playing quarterback in the NFL is incredibly dependent. No matter how talented you are, if the things are not right around you, then you cannot succeed. You know who has a perfect situation?
No, you're right.
Trey Lance. Possibly the best offensive coordinator or offensive mind in the league, and Kyle Shanahan is his head coach. The best run game designer in the league is his head coach. Quite possibly the best offensive line in the league, if not the best, top three. Most important thing for a quarterback to play well is to feel safe and comfortable in the pocket. And not only play well in the season, but to have a long career where you're comfortable. We've seen quarterbacks get ruined because they start in bad places where they can't get protection. And they can never, ever get comfortable after that. He has a great offensive line. They also have a really, really good defense with guys like Bosa on the other side. And I haven't even gotten to the best thing that he has, a guy named George Kittle.
Yeah.
He's the best tight end in the league. He can throw it to him. And then we still got Brandon Ayuk and Deebo Samuels, big play guys that you can just throw them a short ball and they might turn it into a 50, 60-yard gain. So I think that Trey Lance, you combine all of those great situations with his great arm and his great athleticism to run the ball, it's impossible for me to think of a scenario where Trey Lance does not have a great career going forward.
Right, see, sometimes you get into a conversation and you hear points and you realize that the guy you picked is dead wrong. All right? But I'm going to fight anyway.
Come on.
Listen, I got Justin Fields. I got Justin Fields. And a part of this is because I have to – in my mind, I can't imagine Matt Nagy not being a better coach after all he's been through with Mitchell Trubisky, going through that season last year with Nick Foles and trying to figure out what was going to transpire. I have to believe that when you go up to draft Justin Fields and you trade up to get him, you have a plan for what his talents are. We all understand where he is from an athletic standpoint, but I don't think we've given Justin Fields enough credit just for playing the quarterback position at a very high level. I believe the situation is good for him too. If the head coach has learned from the era of his ways. You talk about defense, Dom, for San Francisco and Trey Lance. I agree. Look, man, we all said it. Whatever quarterback end up in San Francisco, that's going to be the great situation because of Shanahan. And you're really not asked to do anything crazy or out-of-worldly because the offense is so well put together. But when I look at Chicago, they had success running the football last year. And now you implement the athletic quarterback. And then, too, from the psyche of players. I love Allen Robinson. I think Allen Robinson is a top-tier wide receiver that doesn't get enough credit because of what's been going on in Chicago with the quarterback spot. I have to believe, I feel like Justin Fields is the most talented when you talk about just talent-wise. And I know you can make an argument for Trevor Lawrence. You can make an argument, obviously, for Trey Lance. That's what I personally believe for Justin Fields. Now I look at a situation where not only you have a franchise that has to win, that has to put themselves in a better situation than they've been in as far as head coach and GM, but I look at Justin Fields being doubted. And I look at Justin Fields in a situation where during this draft, people had questions about if he is one of these top-tier guys. I believe he's going to carry that chip on his shoulder and ball out and be better than both of the guys you mentioned.
Well, there's something to be said for having that chip on your shoulder. You heard it here, folks. Now, moving on, because we're going to keep our eye out for those rookie QBs this season.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code FIRSTTAKE and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to gamble responsibly. See BetMGM.com for terms. This U.S. promotional offer not available in D.C., Mississippi, North Carolina, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in the U.S. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369 for New York. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP in Arizona. For Massachusetts, 1-800-327-5050. For Iowa, 1-800-BETS-OFF. For Puerto Rico, 1-800-981-0023. For West Virginia, visit 1-800-GAMBLER.net. First bet offer for new customers only. Subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days in partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel.
If you didn't know, Trae Young was a superstar before this year's playoffs. You can't ignore him now. Young took the Hawks all the way to the Eastern Conference Finals before falling to eventual champions, the Milwaukee Bucks. The Hawks rewarded Young with a 5-year designated rookie maximum extension that could be worth up to $207 million. Meanwhile, according to Mark Stein, the Mavericks are going to offer Luka a 5-year, $202 million extension after the Olympics. Here's how Luka and Ice Trae compare for their careers. Trae Young and Luka Doncic have had similar scoring and assist numbers over their careers. Doncic has had more team success over the course of the regular season, but Young led the Hawks to the conference finals this past season. There's no doubt that Luka has been crushing it in the Olympics, and now Trae got paid. So, Marcus, I'm going to start with you. Who would you rather build a franchise around, Luka or Trae Young?
Luka Doncic, 6'7", 230, can do it all, and when this jumper not falling, can get to the rack and play a physical game. Listen, this is easy for me, and as much as I got respect for Ice Trae and what he did in the playoffs, and I think it's going to continue, Atlanta and Dallas are happy with the trade. I'm taking the physical presence. One thing we've talked about for so long when it comes to LeBron James is not only his skill set, his physical ability, the attributes that he has, and I'm not by any means saying Luka is a superior athlete, But I love 6'7", 230 at the point guard spot. A facilitator, a guy that will drop it off, a guy that will knock down a shot and play an inside-outside game. And when you look at basketball now, when you look at where we are now in the game of basketball as far as guys coupling up to win championships or dudes being scorers off the dribble as opposed to needing help to get open and all of those things that transpire throughout the course of a game, I like Luka better than anybody in the league, especially when we point into the future. And there's some hoopers in the league, like Devin Booker. You got Trey. You got all of these guys, all of these young guys that's going to carry the face of the league and take it into the next step after KD is done being KD. But right now, out of these two, for me, it's Luka Doncic. And a big part of that is because the skill set is no different. Both of these guys can do some of the similar things on the field, on the court. But when you look at the ability to be physical down low, when you need to put a guy on your back, when you need a game-winning bucket and nowhere on the floor is off limits, that's Luka Doncic for me.
Perkins, what about you?
And you know what, Spears? It's Trae Young for me, okay? Because, look, it's no limitations when it comes down with Trae Young. He's pulling up from half court. He's doing it all. And, look, let's not get it twisted, okay? It was a lot of people that doubted Trae Young. It was a lot of people that said this man was going to be a bust when he came out of college. Boy, has he proved the world wrong. And when you look at Ice Trae, and what are we talking about right now? We talking about a physical specimen, a 6'7 point guard, or we talking about a guy that's going to embrace the moment at the biggest time when the lights are bright, when they hit the ice? We talking about Ice Trae. You saw what he went down there and did to Spike Lee, Stephen A., and the New York Knicks. You saw how he took a bowel on Broadway after he guaranteed, basically, that you got to come back to Atlanta. We go get two wins, and then we go close this thing out in New York. You saw what he did to the number one seed against the Philadelphia 76ers in the second round, who's one of the top defensive teams in the league. Oh, we're going to put Ben Simmons on him. We got Tybo. We got all these guys to defend him. He went in there and torched them people, sent them home packing, broke up a happy home. The 76ers got to go to marriage counseling right now because of Ice Trae. And then look, first game of the series in the Eastern Conference Finals, went to Milwaukee and gave them people a 48-piece wing dinner, spicy, all flats. And for you big swaggoo, Cajun rub style. Let's not forget, Louisiana that series was tied 2-2. That series was tied 2-2 before Ice Trae turned his ankle. We don't know what could have happened if Ice Trae didn't turn his ankle and get injured. So when I look at Trae Young and I look at his ability and the way that his teammates love playing with him, right? We don't have this Porzingis and Luka beef that you got down there in Dallas. Trae Young teammates love playing with Trae Young because yeah, whatever his name is, you know what I mean. You from the country, too. Don't you start that. But you know what I'm talking about.
Yeah. I'm not talking about your speech. I'm talking about issue. Porzingis is the problem. It ain't Luka. Porzingis sensitive.
Yeah, but,
and then his feelings about not being the option.
Yeah, but...
So, you made...
But Spears, This the same Porzingis that 2 years ago, him and Luka both was averaging 30 when they was down there in Orlando in the bubble. So what's the problem now? But look, I'm not even here to discredit Luka. Yeah. I'm here to tell you about the greatness of Trae Young. And if I'm starting a franchise right now, I'm taking Ice Trae.
I love that you have taken this opportunity to tell us about the greatness of Trae Young, because you're right. People were down on him after the draft. People said you could never win with a guy like that, and he's disproved everyone, anybody who said that made them look stupid. I wasn't one who said that, so I'm happy that you are giving him his moment and his flowers right now, but you're still wrong. Like, it's a nice thing to do, a nice thing to say. He's better than people anticipated. Maybe the trade on draft day was not as foolish as everyone thought. But it comes down to the physical presence that Spears was talking about. Like, that is a major difference. If you look through the history of the NBA Finals, the guys who win Finals MVP are either big men or, more recently, wings. A wing, a versatile wing, and that is what Luka is. And Luka, frankly, Trae Young, we talk about how great a shooter he is. He's not that great a shooter. Like, he hits some big shots, but he's not that much of a better shooter than Luka is. Like, they both need to improve as far as their shooting is concerned to take the next step. And let's be honest, I'm going to end it with this particular question right here. And I hope we can bring up my man right now if we can talk to, so I can see Kendrick. I need to see his half angry, half sleepy face so that I can ask him this question. If you had to switch between rosters, you move my man Trae Young to Dallas
No.
Because I think that's the difference. The difference is the rosters. It's not as if Luka's not hitting big shots in big situations. The difference in the depth that they go in the playoffs is because guys like Kevin Huerter, and I know it ain't a name that people wanted to hear, but they can potentially go off. Tell me the last time that Luka got that help. You know, like, that's not a thing that happens for him. The rosters are different.
Just,
so the simple question, I brought out my man from Maryland. The simple question, is for Perk is, if you switch them on rosters, do you think that the Hawks would not have gone as far if Luka was in place of Trae Young? Well, I don't.
Well, first of all, this is what we not about to do, Dominique, is move the goalposts. Because at the start of this season, before last season, if we would have been on this show together, and I would have asked you who had the better roster out of the Atlanta Hawks and the Dallas Mavericks, you probably would have said the Dallas Mavericks. When you think of Luka, you think of Porzingis, you think of Tim Hardaway Jr., you think of Brunson, who's coming in off the bench, you think of Powell, who they have coming off the bench, you think of Maxi Kleber. Let's not act like he didn't have weapons around him. Matter of fact, Trae Young wasn't even playing.
Hold on, y'all. No one on Trae Young.
Listen.
Hold on. Barbershop right now. Perk, you know damn well you starting the team with Luka.
I appreciate it.
Come on, man.
Yeah, I know that. We also played on the same AAU team. We've been knowing each other. In what point? I ain't getting paid.
You got Trae Young coming off of this playoff series where he went off and played great.
Right.
But let's not forget what Luka did in the bubble, and everybody was going crazy and talking about this the face of the league.
Let me get in for a quick second. Perk, you tried to come at me and say at the beginning of this year, would I have said the same thing about the roster? Like, that matters. The year has told us something. At the beginning of this season, would you have said that Trae Young is better than Luka? Yeah, you wouldn't have said that because the season changed your mind. So this season changed my mind about the people surrounding Trae Young, and it changed my mind about the people surrounding Luka, and I think Luka's cast around him is not as good.
Let me tell you something. This is where you lost me on 2 points, okay? One point is you must haven't been watching me a lot on TV talk about basketball because you've been writing those great articles for the Undefeated. I've been high on Trae Young and the Atlanta Hawks. Matter of fact, I had the Atlanta Hawks pick top five in the Eastern Conference to make the playoffs before the season even started because I know how great Trae Young is. And this is another thing. We sitting up here talking about size, and I'm not taking anything away from Luka. And Dominique, you said going back into the history of the NBA and size. You remember a guy by the name of Isaiah Thomas
that played for Detroit? You're going to start naming aberrations. Isaiah Thomas, Chauncey Billups, but that's rare.
Chauncey Billups ain't a small guy. Chauncey Billups wasn't a small guy. Chauncey Billups was a big guy. Chauncey Billups is 6'4". What are you talking about?
I'm talking about small guys.
We're talking about size.
Okay, that's
measure
fine.
The size of his heart.
Okay. Then take Chauncey
measure
Billups
the size
out.
Of
so
his
we got
heart.
Isaiah.
All right. Things are getting very spicy
measure
here, folks.
Measure the size
Luka.
Of his heart.
Before we have to, I mean, we could go on about this all day. Before things get any spicier, which Perk, by the way, you've got me thinking about spicy wings, so thank you for that.
How you look mad and sleepy at the same time?
We've got everyone talking about the Lakers and have the Lakers.
Hey, I'm Molly Karam, and thanks so much for listening to the First Take podcast. Shopping for Mother's Day is always a challenge because you wait until the last minute. But Macy's Gift Finder makes it incredibly fast and easy to find the right gift just in time for Mother's Day. Whether you're shopping for your sister's first Mother's Day or your fashionista mom who loves to make a statement, Macy's Gift Finder has so many great gift ideas that you can easily pick out something special to celebrate them both. You can shop by price, anywhere from $25 and under to $100 and under. You can also sort by categories like fragrance, handbags, and more. Or gift lists, like for the mom who has everything. Pre-wrapped gifts or gifts for grandma. Find top brands like Studio Pro Model Beats headphones, Polaroid cameras, Samsung smart TVs. So what are you waiting for? Mother's Day's May 12th, and it'll be here before you know it. Macy's has the perfect gift guide to make picking something for mom easy this year. Head to Macy's.com/giftfinder today. That's Macy's.com/giftfinder. Thanks so much for listening to the pod and have a fabulous day.
According to NBA reporter Mark Stein, Steph Curry and the Warriors will soon be agreeing to a four-year, $215 million contract extension. This would keep Steph in the Bay through the 2026 season. Perk, I've got to ask you, if this is true, and how many titles do you see Steph Curry winning over the next 4 years?
You know what? I hate to say this right now, but to be honest with you, I don't see the Golden State Warriors bringing home another championship. And here's why. When I'm watching Bob Myers, and I love Bob Myers, he was my former agent before he took over the general manager job with the Golden State Warriors. He's just not being aggressive right now when it comes down to in the offseason, and he's not making moves. I'm watching other teams around the NBA make moves. We watched the Lakers make moves yesterday. We watched the Lakers attack free agency. I mean, Rob Pelinka was in his bag like he got fries at the bottom. You watch the Denver Nuggets. They're trying to improve their roster. We're watching all this transpire, and right now, I get it. The Warriors, I think they drafted pretty well. I love the kid Moody from Arkansas. But look, at the end of the day, we don't really know how Klay Thompson is going to come back. He's coming off with two injuries, a torn ACL and an Achilles. And I know he tore his ACL 2 years ago, but he still haven't got game reps in. We don't know how much Draymond got left in the tank for him delivering in great fashion like the Draymond of old when he used to be able to go out there and deliver 20-point nights and things of that nature. And I get it. Andrew Wiggins, he's developed into a pretty nice two-way player. But when you look at the Western Conference, just in general, you look at the Phoenix Suns, you look at Devin Booker, DeAndre Ayton, re-signing Chris Paul, they're not going anywhere. You look at the Lakers, they're standing right there with LeBron James, Russell Westbrook, and Anthony Davis. The Utah Jazz just signed Rudy Gay. They're getting better. You have the Denver Nuggets. So, sadly to say, I don't see Steph Curry and the Warriors winning another championship.
It's my turn.
Yeah, well, it's your turn. Marcus, what do you got for us?
Yes. Yes, I do. I see them getting one championship, and it's because Golden State is, to your point, right, like what Perk said is right. They haven't made a lot of movement in the offseason, but I got to think that if you go sign Steph Curry to a max extension, you got a plan in place to make sure he's surrounded with a championship team. And remember this, man, like, look, shooting is the equalizer, and you're about to get Klay back. That's 20 a night that you've been missing from that roster. Draymond is fine. I don't believe Draymond going back into Draymond role when they won championships, being a facilitator, being a guy that can get the offense started and get these looks and these shots up from the Golden State Warriors, and then two making moves. Like, I'm not counting Steph Curry out the next 4 years from winning a championship. That's crazy, Big Perk. Mm. That's crazy to think that they not going to make moves to try to set him up in order to win a championship if he committing to them for another 4 years. Everybody understand what's going on in the West. But I will say this, too. When you look around the West, the young teams are the Utah Jazz, and you got the Denver Nuggets. But LeBron ain't got that much time left. when we look at the Clippers, we don't know what the hell going to happen there.
Neither do the Warriors. Like, that's I'm with you on, like, it feels crazy to say.
But they win championships. They win championships shooting the basketball. That's how they win championships.
So their game will age
you
well.
From being a 50% three-point shooter.
But so, it doesn't take into account Steph's movement. Like, their offense now is based around his movement.
We're talking about 4 years.
Around his ability to shoot. So I'm saying that his game will age well.
Years.
But it is really hard to win an NBA championship, especially in the West, and everyone is getting better. So I would say it's more likely that he won't win one, but it just crossed my mind. It's like, he still hasn't had that that kind of big put the team on your back in the finals moment. If he wins another finals, I'm wondering what you think that, Marcus, what you think that does for how we think about him, or is he already at the highest level? Can we not do anything else with, like, how we feel about Steph Curry? Because it just hit me while we're talking about it. It's like, it would mean, it feels like it would mean something to the way we think about Steph Curry if he gets another championship this time, where it's like, he's an MVP and it's on his back.
No,
not me.
No.
Go
see,
ahead,
Foxy. Here you go. See, here you go again, Foxy. See, this is the problem.
Oh,
the seat that you're sitting in, again, Dominique Kellerman, here's the problem that I have with you. You're all over the place. We're not talking about Steph Curry, okay? We know what Steph Curry is going to bring to the table. We're asking about the Warriors winning championships. And what I'm telling you is that Kevin Durant is not walking through that door no time soon, okay? So when the Warriors won their first championship and then they blew the 3-1 lead to the Cleveland Cavaliers and LeBron James, you know what they went out there and said, Swaggoo? Since you over there rolling your eyes and doing all that old hissy fitness stuff, they went out and said, you know what? We have to get better. We see that this window is closing. We got to go get a superstar like Kevin Durant to come help us to deliver more championships. It's not another superstar out there, Swaggoo. This is what I'm saying. It's no knock on Steph Curry. It's no knock on what he brings to the table. I'm just saying the window has closed for the Warriors.
Perk, we don't think in the next 4 years it'll be movement in the NBA for Steph Curry and them out there in Golden State. Like, the question is, how many titles in the next 4 years? So y'all gonna sit on First Take. You and Dominique Foxworth are going to sit on First Take and say that Steph Curry will not be in the conversation for a championship in the next 4 years.
Yeah. Get us out of here, Victoria.
All right,
I'm exactly going to sit down because I'm too big to stand up. So for sure, I'm sitting down because I'm lazy.
All right. Well, on that note, thank you for joining us, fellas. We have to move on to an incredible story. We've got Simone Biles, who returned to the Olympic competition yesterday to compete in the balance beam event. This came after withdrawing from several competitions for mental health reasons. Biles earned a bronze medal for her performance in the event, and here she was speaking about the importance of addressing mental health among athletes.
To bring the topic of mental health, I think it should be talked about a lot more, especially with athletes, because I know some of us are going through the same things and we're always told to push through it, but we're all a little bit older now and we could kind of speak for ourselves. But at the end of the day, we're not just entertainment, we're humans, and there are things going on behind the scenes that we're also trying to juggle with as well.
All right, Neek, that line of her saying we're athletes, but we're humans, we're not just entertainers. Neek, what are your reactions to Biles' comments?
I mean, it strikes me as true, and it's interesting to have this conversation on this show because you're right, she's right, about athletes being entertainers, and we get so accustomed to, like, talking about a show that we like and talking about the characters in that show, how we don't like them or how we judge them. But then we do it about athletes in the same way, and we are guilty of it. Mm. And some athletes can handle it or ignore it and don't care about it, and some athletes it impacts differently. And I think this, for her at least, it goes further than just us coming around and watching and talking about it. It's a lot of pressure. And, like, I've never been to the Olympics, but I have the closest thing I have to a pressurized situation like that. It's not even in one particular play. it's being in my contract year and getting traded to a team that was supposed to be terrible and, like, kind of coming to the realization that all the kind of dreams that I had about coming to getting to the NFL and then everything will be okay, everything will be magical, like, that wasn't true. And I learned it that year. It was probably, not probably, it was the toughest year of my life. And I would never say that, like, I was depressed, but I was pretty damn close. Where I was not happy, I was playing well, but it didn't matter because the pressure was wearing on me. And it was something that I've written about and I've talked about a lot. I played well and got a big contract. And so then I was kind of relieved in a way. But that stress and that pressure is something that it's a lot. So I can't imagine, like, even having this conversation and me trying my best to relate to Simone Biles, I can't. Like, the pressure that she must have been under, nothing close to anything that any of us that can even imagine. And to have the courage to stand up and be like, nah, it's not for me right now, I think is something that has been commended. We should commend. We should commend it. And we also, especially us on shows like this, should keep this type of stuff in mind when we go forward talking about athletes, because we don't know. And not just us. Yeah, social media. Everybody. Keep all this stuff in mind when you go forward making the criticisms that you think are appropriate.
It's being kind because you have no idea what people are going through. Marcus, what about your thoughts?
It's simple for me. We got to remember that these athletes, these people that we watch accomplish these feats that 99% of the humans can't, they still human as well. And because we're successful in an aspect of our life doesn't mean we're not struggling in some other aspect. And to Foxy's point, in the media, like, we come on television to talk about sports. We talk, we critique and we criticize, and we also lift up performances. And I'm always with that as far as performances. But when you start talking about a person's mental health or that person's private life or personal things that they may be dealing with, like I said a week ago, it's not up for discussion because you ain't them and you don't know what the hell they going through.
It would be great if we had somebody with some Olympic experience to talk to how this must feel.
Guilty. I mean, I think what you both have said is unbelievably true. And I remember leading up to winning gold, it was silver, silver, silver. And people were horrific that when I won, the moment I saw my family, I burst into tears because the pressure is unlike anything you can ever imagine. And so that is something we all have to remember. And just being kind to one another, being kind to people and understanding that these athletes have an incredible thing that they're doing and we should celebrate them. Well, that's it for First Take. For Dominique and Marcus, I'm Victoria Arlen. Thank you guys for joining.
Have you ridden an electric e-bike yet? You need to check out Electric E-Bikes today, the number one selling e-bike in America. Two things stand out that bikers love about Electric. Number one, the majority of their models come pre-assembled, so you don't need to be a bike savant to ride them. Number two, Electric wants to empower riders to spend more time exploring outside on their bikes, so they've made range a priority. Long-range batteries allow riders to hit typically around 65 miles of range or up to 150 miles on some models. Bonus! Electric has purposefully priced their bikes to be affordably awesome, so you don't have to break the bank to get these sweet rides. See why people who have made the switch to electric bikes have fallen in love with biking again by visiting electricebikes.com. That's LECTRIC ebikes.com.